There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
For the first time in 13 years, the co-hosts of Gamertag Radio are going to have the first live recording in front of an audience during PodFest 2018. This live recording event is free to attend February 9th, 2018 from 6 to 7 p.m. It's going to take place at PodFest Multimedia Expo 2018 in Orlando, Florida. See Paris, Pete, and Danny live at PodFest 2018. For more information, head over to GamertagRadio.com or PodFest.us.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 731. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, we have Pete in the house. Pete.
What up? What up? What up?
What up, man? What's going on with you, man?
Man, it's
another week.
It has been an up and down week for me. Like, I've got so many emotions going in so many directions right now, between my car, between Comcast and my internet, and you know, that's
still no Comcast, Pete. So it's been how many weeks has it been?
So let's start where I began with the car, right? So 7 weeks ago, I dropped my car off with my wife to Tire Kingdom to get two new tires, to get an oil change, and to get a diagnostic on my brakes, because the brakes, you know, the pedal was going all the way down. Like, it would break, but like the pedal was going down, and you know, the car's only like 4 years old, 3 years old, whatever. So we're like, okay, no problem. And you know, they're like, yeah, we'll have it done by the end of the day. I'm like, all right, cool. I've brought my car to this specific place before, never had an issue. I've gotten new tires, I've gotten brakes, never expected an issue here. Get a call like 2 hours later. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to talk to you. I was unavailable, so my wife went, you know, she got the okie doke run on her. And next thing you know, she needs new brake pads, new brake rotors. She needs a new master cylinder. She needs a brake booster. And we're like, yo, where did this come from? Like, we just needed brake pads, dude. Like, that's all we really needed. They convinced us otherwise, that we needed this. I inquired, do you have a Volkswagen specialist on site to handle foreign cars? Right. Cause this isn't your average, you know, Ford Fiesta that comes into your car. This is, you know, a German auto machine. You know, that's how I like to call my, you know, I have an affinity for German vehicles. You know, I drive an Audi, the wife has a Volkswagen, you know, we like our cars. And 2 weeks later, coming up on Christmas, dude, like it's like the day before Christmas Eve, we've gotten maybe one phone call. Like there's been no like correspondence or discussions with us. And they're like battling with this car. Apparently it's the most difficult car to change the brake system on. Right. Mind you, I've asked,
okay.
Do you guys, is your master technician Volkswagen certified? Does he know how to work on foreign or imported cars? Yeah. He's a master technician. He knows exactly how to do these. He's done dozens of these. Okay. Me and my wife walk in, like I'm coming out of the car. She looks at me. She's like, how do you want to handle this? I just look at her. I'm like, bad cop, bad cop. And she's like, okay. So, and I apologize to all of our listeners who are expecting video game talk, but I have to get this off my chest, right? So
he's stressed. Like, let him,
this is my therapy. This is my therapy out. Session. Let me have this moment. So I walk in and I'm like, you know, I'm already like hands clenched in fists. You know, I'm like, I need to speak to your service manager, someone up above. I don't want to talk to a mechanic. I don't want to talk to someone with dirty hands. You know, I need to talk to a manager who's going to resolve my issue. Long story short, we tell them, look, we don't want you to experiment on our car anymore. You've already gone through two different master cylinders and two different brake boosters to fix this car, and you can't. bring in your best mechanic to look at it and come back with us with a diagnosis. Do not do any more work on the car. 2 days later, actually 3 days later, because the following day was Christmas Eve. The day after that, obviously, was Christmas. Nobody's going to be working. That Tuesday, I call, that Tuesday, we're like, okay, so the technician is supposed to be looking at it. And then Wednesday, we expect a call back. We don't get a call back on Tuesday. We don't get a call back on Wednesday. On Thursday, we call and they're like, I call it like 11. And they're like, oh, we just dropped your car off at Volkswagen. Like, excuse me? You just dropped my car off at the dealership without my permission. And now you're going to, what? Who's going to be responsible for this? 2 weeks later, I've got videos, pictures from the service advisor. There is like nothing's been done. Like they changed the brake pads, they changed the rotors, and they did the oil change as expected. But like I have video and pictures of like there's no tool marks on the brake booster. The master cylinder that they allegedly put in that was brand new. They got two of them. They got one aftermarket and they had one directly from Volkswagen, allegedly, mm-hmm. was still rusted out. It was like, how and where did you do any of this work? So finally I jumped on Twitter. Like at that point I had already jumped on Twitter, like complaining and so on and so forth. And I finally get back and forth communications with the district, like two different district managers and their customer service people. I actually have people's cell phone numbers at this point. Right. And they're like, no, we're going to make it right. We're going to make it right. Volkswagen does all of the repairs and then they find another problem, a brake line that was damaged when Tire Kingdom originally tried to change out the master cylinder.
Oh my God. What a,
and at this point, they do a complete nationwide search and there's none available in the United States. They had to go to the Volkswagen like manufacturer in Germany to bring it over
to get it.
Oh. Now this is when the major storm is hitting. So there's no, like it, we're encountering travel delays, trying to get the box of with my brake line over to the States. Mm-hmm. It finally arrived. It was supposed to arrive Monday. It got here Tuesday. Today is Wednesday. We have our car. 7 weeks. Now I had a long discussion with the district. I was on the phone with like district managers for like 45 minutes and I have to give them credit because they went above and beyond the duty to make sure that whatever pain I felt as a result, two rental cars, mm-hmm. I did the math. We're talking $5,000 in total work between everything at Tire Kingdom and Volkswagen just to get my car back to the way it was actually with working brakes now, right? And two new tires. And I paid zero. So
that's good.
So aside from the pain and distress of having to deal with, you know, dealing without having my own personal car for one thing, and then having, you know, going for weeks on end where, you know, I've got to do double driving or I've got to drive my wife to work, take my kids to school, you know, take my son to work, take my son to school. It's been a hassle. And like, thankfully, you know, Volkswagen has been there the entire time to help walk us through the whole process. But man.
Yeah. You don't want to go through that again. That's crazy,
man. That's crazy. So if I've been extra salty, whether it's on social media or on the show, that's why.
That's why. Yeah. But, Paris is not going to be joining us this episode, but, he's going to be joining us, the next one. And, hopefully on Sunday, if you want to watch us live on Twitch, we're going to be there also. And, yeah, don't miss it. All right, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Put your comments and feedback. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes. Well, not iTunes. I gotta get used to this. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to go out there and find us, share it, subscribe, post a review, whatever you can. Spread the word. It will help us out big time here to promote GTR. By the way, February 25th, it's official. We're going to release our documentary called the Gamertag Radio Documentary, the 25th of next month, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, live on Twitch. Watch it live. I want everybody to be there, talk to the community and everything. And after that, we're also going to have it available on YouTube. So you could also watch it if you went through there, or if you want to share it to other friends, family members. Here's the thing. You don't need to be a gamer. You don't need to be a podcast listener. Doesn't matter. Fan of gaming, not a fan of gaming, this is like a great, great documentary. And I can't wait, truly, truly, I can't wait for this to come out next month. But this is totally free, and it's a gift from us to you, you know, the GTR community that have been supporting us throughout the 13 years. So I can't wait for everybody to watch it finally, man. All right. Also, February 9th, we're going to have a live podcast show, a live podcast recording in Orlando, Florida, during the PodFest conference. Make sure to go to podfest.us for more information. If you plan to go over there, make sure to hit us up, fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or hit me up directly, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm everywhere. Just hit me up, and I'll give you more details about that. We're planning to record live 6:30 p.m., so if you can, get there a little early, get your seats, and enjoy the show. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Let's talk about this big, huge announcement from Microsoft. You know, in the past, I think the past few months, I've been noticing that Phil Spencer has been hinting here and there about services. He talked about Game Pass a couple of times. He said that he always wanted to convert Game Pass similar to Netflix, where, you know, in the future they probably will have like exclusive games, episodic games. Let's make believe a short game like a Telltale game like that, right? Episodic, only exclusive there. And for those that don't know about Game Pass, is a service for Xbox that you could pay $10 a month and you could download the games, unlimited games. There's like over 100 games there, and you could play it. Once you're done, you go to the next one and so on. Now, the announcement that they have a couple days ago was that starting with this game, Sea of Thieves, that's coming out March 20th, that game is also going to be available day one for subscribers that's part of the Game Pass service. And after that, Crackdown, State of Decay, also future games like Gears of War, Forza, Halo, on day one. Now, you don't need to go to the store and buy it. That's optional. If you want to do that, you could do that. Perfect. Or stick with the service, pay $9.99, and you get it on day one like everybody else. You just download it, and that's it. I think this is a huge, huge game changer, because usually we always get these old games, right? For PlayStation Now, also Xbox Game Pass. We've never thought in a million years that companies are going to start adding now new games to the service. But I think by them making this move, and then maybe in the future adding exclusive content, dude, I'm going to sign up for Game Pass. Why would I buy a $60 game? I think this is going to be the future. I think this is a huge, huge game changer. And at the same time, I wonder what's going to happen with GameStop now after this and all the retail stores.
I don't think anything is going to happen with GameStop, because think about it. They've already even announced that they're going to have an agreement to do a six-month pass for $60 with GameStop. So I don't think this puts GameStop out of business, because you're always going to have that brick and mortar support, right? You're always going to have that store where you want to go in and buy, because there's that part of, you know, the consumer that wants to hold that tangible item in their hands when they pay $60. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is aboard the all digital train. I am. I know you are. I know Paris is. But not everybody is. We are the outliers. There are people who still say that if I pay $60, I want something physical. You know, they haven't transitioned over to the full services model. I agree. I think this is a great opportunity for Microsoft. And if you're a consumer with an Xbox, it behooves you to pay $10 a month. Yes, at $120 a year. If you look at it from the big number perspective, looks and sounds a little more, you know, difficult to swallow. But when you think about $10 a month, you're getting access to a large category or catalog of games, and you have access to every first party title that's going to come out for Microsoft. If you know that those are titles that you're going to pick up, it's a no-brainer to grab. My only question to this release is, does this extend to PC as well?
Yes. All right, so I was checking out a couple of YouTube videos today, and there was one YouTuber that he also has Game Pass. He downloaded Gears of War for the Xbox One. He also downloaded it on his PC. So,
I'm talking about like the Game Pass. Does that work? Like, if I wanted to jump on a State of Decay 2 on PC, could I do that?
Yes.
Hmm.
The only games that Xbox Play Anywhere. If it's like an older game that is not playable for PC, then it's not going to work. Only games like Forza, Quantum Break, Gears of War, Halo, and so on. You could do that and play it on the PC. I think that's a game changer. And thinking about it too, let's say a brand new game comes out. You know, maybe some of us are hype, not a lot of us maybe are not hype about the game. But if you're paying $10 a month, you will download this because you're just curious. You have nothing to lose. Just download it. And I think that's a perfect way to play now with more people on all these games that comes out. Because you're part of the service. You're paying $10. You could download it. You don't like it, delete it. Download something else. I think, honestly, man, this is the future, I think, in my opinion, man. Because this is going to be like Netflix. They're going to invest a lot of money into games, get some exclusive games, some exclusive titles, maybe add some indie games there, some third party. Who knows? I think this is a huge, huge game changer, man. I think this is a positive move. Now, is this going to go and make people to buy the Xbox? I don't know. That's a little bit of a mystery, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more people are going to sign up to this. But yo, if you're a parent and you want to save money instead of paying $60, dude, no brainer. Go with the Game Pass. This is big. And you get all the new games. You get all the games on day one.
No, you know? I do like the idea from a financial perspective. I think it makes sense. My question is this Microsoft's way of overcoming the projected sales line for titles that potentially may or may not hit their thresholds for sales, right? So we'll take Crackdown 3, for example. I'm gonna throw out a hypothetical number here, right? Let's say that their target number is 100,000 sales, right? Again, hypothetical, we're talking speculation here. I just had a glass of scotch, so this just might not, even come out right?
It's okay.
Let's say that their projection for success is 100,000 units on Crackdown 3. Does the number that, does this help them achieve that sales number, right? It doesn't have to be target number. It doesn't have to be targeted 100,000, you know, units, but as long as they meet that number, right? What is it? 100,000 times $60. And then you figure they probably make about $20 in profit for every title that they come out with after, you know, pushing out everything else in sales. So as long as they meet that dollar amount, right? Does this make that easier to attain? And is this a reason why they're going in that route?
Honestly, Pete, really reading this, I think it's not even about the sales anymore. It's about the subscribers. Like, all right, a perfect example that I could mention about this, because, you know, I used to work for a TV network back in the days. And TV, the old way, a lot of the companies only concentrating, they're concentrating on ratings, on views, right? On how many people are at that particular time watching a certain show, right? So let's say prime time, 8 o'clock. That's a lot of people that's watching TV around that time because they're at home, relaxing, whatever. You know what? We're going to start charging all these advertisers even more for that, right? Netflix mentality is like, they don't care how many people are viewing certain shows. They care about subscribers. How many people are subscribed to the service? I think Microsoft now is in that mentality. Yeah, have that as optional so they could still build that relationship still, you know, with all these retailers. But I think it's beyond that now. This is more about how many people we could keep from the service and maybe try it out. Maybe they like it, those that join. I think a lot of people might subscribe just for like the whole year to test it out, test the waters out. You know, if you're not a part of the service, you go buy and you buy the game at the store or digitally online. And it's a win no matter what. They're not losing a lot of money because of that. I think this is going to help people to be part of the service. Maybe later in the future, we'll see bundles of, hey, if you join Xbox Live, for this extra amount, you also will get a bundle to be part of Game Pass. They can also do that. And they're still getting money from that. And maybe certain games, of course, is probably going to have some microtransactions. I think that is possible too.
Well, also have to understand. And I think the Netflix comparison works and it doesn't, right? Because at the end of the day, okay, like Netflix is still $20 million in debt. At the end of the day, was it 20 million or 20 billion or something like that? Yeah, it's $20 billion in debt. So that's
every company's in
debt. That's what you want to do because the money that they're making, A, from a subscription plus their Xbox Live. So you're thinking, okay, $60 for Xbox Live plus an extra $10 a month $120 a year and 60, you're figuring $180 in subscription fees to Microsoft in total for you to be able to access their Xbox Live marketplace and that whole infrastructure plus the Game Pass. So at the end of the and a $500 console. So now you're talking $500 plus $180 that first year, you're talking almost $700 to walk in the door. Right? So that's a steep dollar amount that you need to try to navigate through customers' wallets and bank accounts because that's a lot of money to divvy up. Now, I get it that it's the price of entry to get into gaming. Gaming isn't a cheap environment regardless of whether you're playing on you know a Nintendo Switch, because that's still $300, or you're playing on a console, which is about $400 to $500, you're playing on a $1,000 PC and up. And obviously we know that price can go very, very sky high when you're talking about PC gaming. So it's not like this is a cheap entry for things. I mean, it's getting to the point now where it's a premium hobby, right? So I don't know. When you start looking at the big picture, big dollar amounts that, you know, that you have to start spending in order to start appreciating some of this stuff, the subscription of Xbox Live, I think that's where you start to see the savings because you see the catalog of games that you're now able to access, whether it's the backwards compatible, you know, titles or it's those day one releases, you know, like the Sea of Thieves or Crackdown 3s whenever that comes out, or, you know, whether, you know, Gears 5 or Halo 7.5 or whatever. That's when you start to see the true value of the service versus the $120 buy-in. Mm. Plus the $60 buy-in for Xbox Live.
I have to disagree with that, Pete. Even without these games, first party games like day one, right? It as a gamer that loves to play these old games too, or maybe games that came out maybe a year or two ago, it's still worth it. Believe it or not, my nephews, they love playing the old Call of Duty and the older games, you know. They're not like us. Let me keep up with the current games. They don't really care about that. But as my cousin, she, you know, she, a parent, I tell her, hey, you could pay $9.99 a month, yo, unlimited games, yo, 100 games they could play, they're good. And they'll be like, oh man, I'd rather do that instead of paying $60. To you and to me, we'll say, well, technically it's not really worth it because, you know, there's a lot of older games. I already played those. I moved on. You're playing the current games. But I still think it's still worth it, dude. Still think. $10 a month, though? What is it that you're losing paying $10 a month with a lot of content? And a lot of those games is also playable online. I think that's really, really dope. Now, them adding all these new content, too, a plus. And I think this is just the beginning. I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft start announcing indie games that's only exclusive for Game Pass, or maybe both. You could buy a digital or play Game Pass. Third parties. I wouldn't be surprised. Imagine they announce Tom Clancy, some random, let's say Splinter Cell. Let's just make believe. It's going to be available on day one and also here, Game Pass. Dude, that will be huge. Anthem, let's just make believe. Anthem is going to be available day one. I think this is going to be a game changer, man. Huge, huge. And if they become successful with this, don't be surprised if Nintendo and Sony are going to do the same exact thing. Sony already has for the PlayStation Now. I wouldn't be surprised if they start adding brand new games for the PlayStation 4 to their service. I could see that happening. EA Access and play it day one. I could see that happening too. We'll see.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential. And the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
At LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
You brought up Anthem, and I think that's a great way to segue into our next topic because...
Oh, yes.
That's not coming out.
Go for it.
That's not coming out now for a while. They pushed that back to 2019 with no hard date either. I don't know if fall 2018 was ever really a realistic date in the first place, but it's been announced that it's now scheduled for early 2019. So... May, June 2019 is now your date. Granted, and I think we've all said this. I mean, even...
Miss Leo prediction, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey,
Miss
even Leo even prediction. Paris, who is not here, called it. And I think...
Yeah, they called it.
I don't... But, and here's the thing. I can speak on this even without Paris being here. All of us have always been of the belief that if a developer or a publisher needs to push back the release of a title to ensure that it comes out as a quality product, especially in light of everything that has happened over the last 4 months now between Battlefront 2 from EA and Destiny 2 from Activision, we've seen... You know, Activision, Bungie. I want to make sure that they get the right credit. We've seen what can happen to a title. We can see how something that was almost considered foolproof could fall on its face and you know, hit that wall, hit that sophomore wall, right? Because you know, it's to bring a sports analogy in. If you think of, you know, players like, let's say, Cam Newton in football. That first year, he was unstoppable because defenses didn't know how to prepare for him. Year two, defenses knew how to stack up on him, and he wasn't as great. And that's him showing his greatness was him being able to succeed in years 3, 4, and 5. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with, as we saw, you know, with Battlefront 2 and especially Destiny 2. You know, Destiny 2 has a long road ahead of them. to try to repair a lot of those fractured relationships that it had established in that first 2 years, two plus years with a lot of people on Destiny 1. So now Anthem from BioWare is now going to be the only thing that BioWare works on. You know, they, you know, granted, they downgraded a bunch of studios and now they only have, what is it, the one in Canada and the one in Austin, Texas. All of their staff is now focused completely on Anthem. And, you know, they've got a long road ahead of them as well. You know, they've got to prep for a general release, beta release, EA Access launch, as well as having a long slate of patches and updates in the wheelhouse ready to go day one so that this can survive and become that game that iterates month after month, or, you know, quarter after quarter. Destiny, you know, kind of set the model and pace for that with games. We've seen games beyond like Rainbow Six Siege. And as we've talked, you know, Ubisoft has the secret sauce for this, right? We've seen how The Division has, you know, reemerged as a quality game 2 years after launch. We saw how Siege exploded in popularity after, you know, the development release of the game, Wildlands, Far, you know, the list goes on and on. And I just don't want to stick with just Ubisoft titles. If you want to succeed in a game that's going to stick online multiplayer with a continuing delivery model of content, you need to make sure you've got all your, you know, all your I's dotted and all your T's crossed and every other cliche that you could think of to make sure that you don't fall on your face, because everybody's got eyes on BioWare now, especially after what's happened with Mass Effect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and talking about that, here I'm reading the article that it's a combination of a lot of things. Of course, let's talk about Battlefront 2, Destiny 2, which we talked about, all right? But like you said, Pete, how Mass Effect was so disappointed, they want to take their time. BioWare want to take their time. Because it says here, this is from a source that was talking to one of the writers from Kotaku. It says that the stakes feel higher than ever for the team. As one developer told Kotaku, that there's a belief that if Anthem doesn't live up to EA expectations, BioWare look very different in the future, which is going to go downhill. And this is their what? Brand new game, brand new IP, and what? Since Mass Effect 1?
Well, and think about it. This has been in development since 2012.
Yeah.
You know, this was under development under Casey Hudson, who left in 2014 and then returned just last year as a studio head for BioWare. So it's been in pre-production for a long, long time. So it's almost as if Anthem has become, you know, it's their all in play, right? Which is why they're pushing back that development time. Hell, take another year. You know, don't give me a 2 year, don't give me a 3 year development cycle. Do what CDPR does with Witcher 3. Give me a 5 year plan. Give me four and a half years of development, you know, 6 months of testing, and then give it to me raw, right? Give it to me strong, you know, let it, you know, jump out of the gates and explode and make everybody regret that they doubted BioWare in the first place. Right. Mm-hmm. But again, it's that expectation. Because look at that catalog of titles that has come out of that studio net, you know, that studio name. When you think BioWare, you think quality games, and it's it might be difficult to try to sustain that type of success year over year. But if you've done it before, the confidence is there that you could do it again. And it's just a matter of delivering now.
Yeah. I mean, even if they take, let's say, the game comes out holiday of 2019, I'm fine with that too. Or early 2020, I'm fine with that too. As long you release a great title instead of this half-ass games that is buggy. Wow.
If you're going to do 2020, give it to me with the PS5.
Oh my God. Hey, you never know. It's possible that, let's just say that, you know, Sony and Microsoft decides to release a brand new console in the future, why not do what Bungie did with the first Destiny? They had it for the original, the 360 and PlayStation 3, and they also had it for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. They could do that too. But as long the game is smooth and fun, that's all that matters, man. I'm tired of this, like, oh, we have to release it because, you know, it's the time for us to release it because of the holidays or stocks or whatever this nonsense. That's what happened with Battlefront 2. EA released it, mm-hmm. and it was like, really? Well, really? That even Disney was disappointed. Disney was like, right. nah, they came and took over that situation.
So that begs the question, is the delay, is pushing back the release of the game because they're going back and reconsidering all of any potential loot box / was it pay to win or any of microtransaction opportunities within the game? Are they pushing that back because now they have to reconsider that and be like,
You know what? I think they do have some microtransaction. I think they do. They're probably making a lot of changes through that. But also, besides that, Pete, maybe there's stuff in the game that is not exactly how the trailer they showed us. The game looks beautiful, right? But even, let's talk about God of War, for example. Do you remember the first time we got to see God of War, the original trailer? We were there at the E3 press conference, yep, of PlayStation, whatever. We were like, oh man, this looks tight. The game does not look like that now. Totally different. That's why sometimes us as fans, we got to control ourselves because we can't. I don't want people to be gassed up thinking, oh my God, that's the game. Most of the time, it's not like that. What was the game from Ubisoft a couple years ago that our mind was blown when we saw it at E3 at their press conference? The hacking game.
Watch Dogs?
Watch Dogs. Remember the first trailer we watched from Watch Dogs? It was amazing. It was like groundbreaking. I'm like, oh my God, it looks amazing. The game does not look like that at all. E3 trailers is totally different from retailers, man. The retail game. Totally different. So, take their time. I really could care less. Take your time. Once the game is done and ready, let's do it. Hey, Cyberpunk.
Actually.
Perfect example of Cyberpunk.
Game. Yeah, yeah. Well, if anything, I say put your work in it, and when you think it's ready, take a step back and reconsider and think about it long and hard and then release it. Like, make sure that you're considerably like on the boat of, yeah, we are far beyond the ready button. Like let's go. Like, we could go yesterday. Like, that's when you know that you're good. But if you're going to try to rush it now, no. And hopefully, you know, honestly, I hope that they're pushing it back because of all of these controversies, right? I want them to give us a better game. I want BioShock to give me another BioShock, or I want BioWare to give me another BioShock Infinite feeling, right? Where that's all I'm going to do for the next 2-3 weeks, right? I'm going to ignore families and friends, and I'm just going to focus on this game and talk about it for a month afterwards, right? That's what I want. So, mm-hmm. So do what you got to do. Take your time, you know, and give me that quality. Give me that quality game that we know and have and expect from BioWare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right, Pete, 420, man. 420. Hey. No, I don't smoke. But 420, there's a couple of things coming on that day. There's the Nintendo Labo. For those that are celebrating 420 and they want to build stuff, you could play that.
You're a dork.
Or it's all good. But also, PlayStation announced that the new God of War game comes out at 420. Pete, honestly speaking, are you excited for God of War?
I don't know. I don't know.
Why is that?
I just...
The game looks amazing, dude.
Oh, I'm not going to deny it. I will not deny that. I just don't have that established history with Kratos. It looked beautiful while playing it. You know, it looked beautiful while watching, you know, the Sony press conference the last couple of years at E3. Mm-hmm. But it's not a title that I have a long history with. So it's not something that I'm like waiting on with bated breath. I can't wait to, you know, till it comes out so we can play it. Like I won't be there day one. And I think that's not an indictment on Sony or Santa Monica or the title itself. I think that's more of an indictment on the burn that gamers have felt, more so recently than anything else, with expectation of games to be so good and then it falters on day one. I'm playing more of a wait and see approach. Not to say it's not going to be good.
That's fair.
But I'm kind of holding my breath for almost every title that comes out just because of the burn that we've all felt.
I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you. I'm excited because, you know, I play a lot of the older God of War games, and I feel like this one is going to feel a little bit different than the other ones. But it's like a good, good things. Story looks interesting. I'm definitely going to get it. I think I want to try this out once it comes out on 420. Yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. I'm definitely going to try it out for sure. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good game, man. And the good thing that the developers have been, Santa Monica, have been taking their time with this one. Because the worst thing is when company rush things, man. Every 2 years, same game, or every year, it's the same game. I don't know. Take your time. It's been a while that we haven't played a God of War game, and I think this is the one. This is the one, man. And this is the first PlayStation 4 true next-gen God of War game. I'm very excited.
No, we have no doubt that it's going to be beautiful. I mean, the press conference that we saw at E3 was allegedly on a PS4 Pro. So we know how good it can look. We all know the story. We all know the series. We all know the gameplay of it. So we know it's going to be quality. You know, I just want to see. Yeah. I'm reserving judgment until after it comes out. Let's put it that way.
Okay. For those that are listening, let us know. Are you excited for the God of War game? Let us know. Give us a call, 786-2737-GTR, or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. All right, Pete, we have one more thing here. I want to do fan mail. I don't know if you want to read any emails, but I do have a voicemail that I really want to play from Puerto Rico. This is from Boricua Star. So we're going to play here now on fan mail. Yeah.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Hey, Gamertag Radio crew, this is Boricua Star from Puerto Rico. I was crazy, you know, to call, and you know, since this situation in Puerto Rico is still bad, I feel like it's like 50% that we don't have electricity. But I just want to thank you guys. Every time I hear you guys, I take my mind off. It's been almost like 4 or 5 months without power electricity in my house, so it's kind of crazy. But I believe this month, probably entering February, I will have. I just want to ask you, since you were talking about consoles, what peripherals you bought that you regret? Like, for example, I had a power glove, and man, that thing never worked. I used to have I said, I'm not going to use the glove. I'm just going to use the D-pad with the buttons that was built in the forearm. And I remember the Tony Hawk ride, which... it was like a gimmick, you know, it came with a skateboard. And, you know, those are two on the top of my mind that come that I just regret buying. So peripherals that you regret, that the old guys regret buying. And hope to hear from you soon, guys. So take care, okay? Much love. Boricua Star, signing out.
Hey, man, I'm going to stick with the answer that I gave you last week, man. That Nintendo with the ROB, robot, the robot. That crappy robot was trash, man. Yeah. It never worked. And I begged and pleaded I begged and pleaded my parents to get that for me. And they got it for me, and poof, it was trash. So, yeah, I think that Nintendo ROB is going to, like, it's going to haunt me for the rest of my life. Was it robotic something buddy or something like that? don't know. It just, it never worked, but, and it wasn't good. So
let's be real, man. That Power Glove was pretty like hype, and it was whack. It was like a waste of money on that. I remember watching the movie The Wizard back in the days, and one of the kids would start playing the Power Glove. He got it from his pack. I know it was like a luggage or a box. I can't remember. It was so long ago. He started playing it, and you hear that music in the background, like intense, like, yo, this guy's a pro gamer. Look at this. And I was like, man, that looks dope. Like that Power Glove was garbage. Straight up garbage. I remember playing it. I'm like, it was so weak. But peripherals, I mean, do you think 32X is a peripheral? That was like an adapter for the Sega Genesis. It wasn't technically a console. No?
I don't know.
That's a peripheral, I think, man. I put 32X up there, man.
I don't know. I might have to disagree with that, dude. Like, I loved my
32X. It wasn't a console. Wait, you liked the 32X?
I did.
Pete, man, that it was like for a normal consumer that doesn't know much about like gaming, they'll go there, what they were like, what is this? Okay. It was just confusing. That's why it flopped.
Okay, I have another one, and I'm sorry. I'm gonna blast on Nintendo for this one. The Power Pad.
Oh, you know what?
Hold on.
I think I have to put it up there too, man. I think at the moment it was fun. At the moment, right, playing track and field, right. But it was like, really, what else?
So there's got to be more, right? First, there was the Game Gear TV tuner. We talked about that last week. The DK, the Donkey Kong bongos.
No, that was pretty fun. I mean, that was the only game that you
could... That's a stretch, dude. That's a stretch. Come on, let's be real. What about the Resident Evil 4 chainsaw controller?
Which one?
The Resident Evil 4 chainsaw controller.
Waste of money. Seriously, whoever bought that, that was a waste of money. Come on, guys. Come on, that was a waste.
Come on, you're asking about the worst peripherals of all time, and those are the ones that come to my mind.
Oh, what about this one? And I had this one in Dominican Republic because, you know, I had like a business over there, so I was always buying like new things. Super Scope.
The gun.
But no, not the gun for Nintendo. Super Scope was for the Super NES. The game that came with it, I can't remember the name of the game. Let me look it up. There was a game that came with it. It's kind of like that was like robots, and you shoot them and everything. That's it. That was like a waste of money. That was just straight up a waste of money. The thing is with the Zapper, the NES Zapper, that one came with a console, so it's not like you are actually buying. Well, I think at first you could buy that separate early days, but then there was a time that they had as a bundle. So when I got my first Nintendo, it was like that as a bundle. I had Mario and I also had Duck Hunt, and it came with the gun, and I would use it and shoot and play like with my family. Okay, it was all right, but that's it, you know. But another one too, Pete, and you know what? I'm going to call out Pete for this. I'm going to call you out, Pete.
Oh, no.
That Tony Hawk game, that skateboarding game that came with a skateboard, dude, that was a disaster. I remember Activision sending us that, and I played it, and I'm like, yo, this is garbage. You're like, can I try it out? Yeah, sure. Pete actually liked it.
I'm coming from a skater, like, coming from a former skater. Yes, I liked it.
$100.
Not worth it for $100.
Come on. Please.
Well, hey, they're not the only way. I apologize all the Nintendo lovers for if I'm continuing to bash on Nintendo for this. The Roll and Rocker.
The Roll and Rocker.
From Nintendo. It was like a third party product for the NES. It was like a flat panel with a half of a ball on the bottom that you would use. It was kind of like a balancing board.
Okay, I'm listening.
No, that's the only good part about it. That's about it.
All right. Well, there was a lot of other ones.
What about the Xbox HD DVD player?
You know what? That was a waste of money.
That was one of the first gifts I got from my wife, like when we were first dating. Like she got me that five movies, and like it was like, and then like she got it for me.
Heroes the season HD.
No, it's like she got it. She got me like King Kong the movie, a whole bunch of other things. And then like 2 months later, like Sony, like everybody was like, okay, yeah, Sony won the HD war. Everybody's going to Blu-ray. And I looked at it. I looked at my wife, and yeah, she's like, sorry.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. You know what? I enjoyed Guitar Hero and the Rock Band era. I really enjoy that, but the problem I was having after a while, I had too many guitars, mm-hmm. too many drums, too many mics. I personally think that Guitar Hero was good with the guitars. I was not a fan when they started using like the mics and the drums. I was not a fan of that. I think Rock Band did a better job with that, in my opinion.
I disagree. I like the Guitar Hero guitar better.
I'm talking about the drums, Pete, and the mic.
I don't know if I ever played...
Not the guitar.
I don't know if I ever got... Did I ever play the drums on the Rock Band?
Yes! Yeah, I did. You remember...
Because I broke everybody.
Didn't you have the Guitar Hero Metallica?
Yes.
There you go. I remember that. Remember years ago... We're going to wrap it up pretty soon, but remember years ago, Nintendo was planning to release I think this was for the Wii era where it was like a sensor. I think it was, you put your finger in there and it detects your heartbeat, but they never released it. They like canceled it behind the scenes. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
No, but I could see that working in conjunction with like Wii Fitness, you know, trying to measure your heart rate if you're doing exercise and stuff like that. So I could see where that would come in play.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... Oh, man, the Wii Pad. Guys, come on, man. The Wii Pad. I think the reason why we mention a lot of Nintendo is because Nintendo likes to take a lot of risk. Some is successful. Some is just like, wow, this was like a truly waste of money. But it's good. I think in this industry, it's good for companies to experiment, even if it's a failure. It's like how Microsoft, everybody's talking about like Kinect. I think... That was a decent experiment. It worked for a lot of things, and it didn't work for other things. Like for gaming, I think the one of the best experiences I had playing Mass Effect with Kinect, that I'm saying the choices that I want. That was cool. Or I'm saying turn on, you know, a Kinect, Xbox, turn on whatever, it will work. Little things like that. I think it's great, but yeah, I think it was a great experiment in my opinion. So, all right, so we're done here, Gamertag Radio episode 731. Pete, that was a great conversation. It was only us two, and I think half of the show was about your car. So thanks for.
I needed the therapy though, so thank you everyone for listening and putting up with it.
It's all good. It's all good. But yeah, guys, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Subscribe, listen to the show, even the past episodes, download the past older content, and spread the word. Mention to people about it. And if you can, subscribe to like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. We need your support. Remember February 25th on our 13th birthday of GTR, we're releasing the Gamertag Radio documentary totally free as a thank you to the community for all the support that we have been getting throughout the 13 years. That's going to be a lot of fun. And if you're in Orlando or plan to drive to Orlando, live close to the Orlando area, make sure to go. The whole Gamertag Radio crew is going to be there. Paris is flying from all the way from California. Pete is driving. It's not that far. I think Pete is the closest to Orlando than everybody else. he's going. I'm going. We're going to have a live show. One of my good friends, Nir Galarte from Wildstyle Media, is also going to be asking us questions. I told him, look, man, I want you to ask us the toughest questions. And the thing is, we're also going to talk about the documentary a little bit, you know, with him there. But overall, we're going to have a great, great time. Our first live podcast recording in front of an audience. It's going to be a lot of fun. Pete, any predictions? I'm going to have some surprises for you guys, because I want you guys to be surprised at the moment, you know, so the show could be even cooler. But any predictions, any vibes about the live recording?
There will be giveaways.
Oh, boom. Yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yes. And I I'm going to keep down the low. I'm surprised everybody. Let me tell you, go to the show, because there's going to be giveaways. And it's totally free. All right? All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Gamertag Radio is on radio.com.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/gamertagradio.